The Burt Show.
It is the update I never thought that I'd really be interested in. But here I am, waiting and waiting and waiting, and have learned so much about crows.
Who knew we could be the NPR of crows? Y'all, everything is right with the crows.
We're back in with the crows?
We're back in with the crows, even after one of their own was brutally murdered. This was my neighbor's backyard.
We're coming after you, Bee.
Yep. So her dog took the life of a crow. Doesn't even know how this elderly dog was able to capture one, but she did. And
she probably surprised the hell out of herself.
Probably.
Like, I've been doing this my entire life. I've never caught one, but I'm going to keep going for it. And she caught one, and she's like, now what do I do?
And she's like your typical dog after you make a kill.
Yep.
You got to bring it to the back door.
Sure.
And you
show
sit
it all
there, and you wag your little tail, and you're like, look, Mom, look, Dad, look what I got for you. Isn't this exciting? And they're like, oh, my God. I almost said accidentally. And I'm like, no, this was like intentional. This is like murder one. And the crows were livid. Mm-hmm. Like they were, anytime the family, the kid, the dog exited the back of the house, the crows were dive bombing them and attacking them because they were pissed.
Do it for Johnny.
Yes. Yes. They were doing it for Johnny. R.I.P. Johnny. And so I let her know. I'm like, listen, crows are extremely intelligent. They're extremely loyal. Like you had to make it right with the crows. Like, I don't know how you do this, but peace offerings, they like shiny things. Like they can become your friend and ally unless you get on their bad side.
I had no idea until you started talking about these things.
So she made an altar on a log and had a picture of the dog and would put out different seeds and nuts. Hard-boiled eggs apparently are like a delicacy for the crows. And slowly but surely, the crows were like, I see what you're doing here. You're trying to make good. So they were still a little noisy, but they weren't getting dive bombed every mm-hmm. time, and they were staying close. But now I can say there is peace once again. The crows have like accepted the peace offering, and we have
closure.
Like, closure, so community.
They can walk out of their house now. They can go to the car down the driveway.
Yes.
And the crows are like, we're cool people.
Yes.
All right.
They're cool with the crows.
Uh-huh.
It's probably a leader amongst the crows that had to tell the other crows, we could back up now.
I think, I guarantee you there is.
That's probably a leader crow.
This is just so funny to me because, I mean, think about it. If it happened to one of our siblings or brothers or friends and, like, you know, it was killed by a massive crow or something, and then they just started, like, laying out hard-boiled eggs, just being like, the humans will be fine. They'll get over it. It's only their brother.
Right? they'll deal. So what's been crazy ever since I talked about this, I've been getting so much crow content DM'd to me. So anytime you guys come across a crow video, you send it to me. And there is one that I've gotten over and over and over again. And it is so cute and so fascinating. And we have the video and we will share it because you have to see the video to truly appreciate the friendship this toddler has with the crow. So it's a toddler named Otto. I think they're either in Denmark or Finland or something like that. I saw this on the Dodo. So they have all kinds of like cute animal videos and kid videos and stuff like that. So this is a family that has befriended a crow, but the crow has really taken to their young son. And the two of them, I kid you not, are BFF. Like there's video of them, like the little toddler's just kind of bopping down the road and the crow's just like hopping next to him and stuff like that. It's adorable.
They could spend hours just playing. Russell is a wild bird. He's not around all the time. But when Otto is outside, he will never leave Otto's side. When we go inside, he will sit outside the window because he wants Otto to go outside with him. When I pick up Otto from kindergarten, Russell will sit on our roof and make sure that Otto is home. Even though Russell and Otto are really great friends, I never leave them unsupervised. Before we got Russell, I didn't know that crows could be affectionate. Russell would only allow Otto to pet him. Whenever I tried, he would leave. if we open up our window, he will go and sit on the couch watching TV with Otto. I just think he likes to hang around Otto.
It's crazy, man.
It's so. So here's this little kid just petting this crow's head, and he just, and literally they will open the window for Russell. And Russell will just kind of bop into the house, and he will sit on the couch with Otto and watch TV.
So is there a way you can use this for good also? Like, this all happened because the dog killed a crow. But if you know you have crows outside of your neighborhood or outside of your house, is there something you can offer them to get them on your good side?
Yes.
Yeah? Yes. Just of those offerings?
Any of those offerings. They love shiny things. So, like, if you give them something, what they've been known to do is they will go out and find something for you and bring it back to you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is that how you know when it's really over? Because if you open the window and they're not really over it, it might go a different way.
Yes. No. I would not recommend my neighbor do this tactic. We ain't looking for friends. We're just looking for not enemies. You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
So, but yeah, thanks again to everybody and all their lovely.
Who knew?
Who friggin' knew?
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
It appears the Burt Show's a little clairvoyant because we saw into the future.
We did.
Because yesterday we were talking about Diddy and all of his responses to that horrible assault video that's come out. We're like, yeah, people are probably going to stop streaming his music because we just can't hear things the same way. And turns out that's now actually not just a prediction, but it's actually facts. So streaming activity for Diddy's music has gone down 51.8% from around 2.6 million streams to about 1.265 streams. So people are still streaming it, but just significantly less. A business called Lumen is what tracks this. And I can only imagine as more people find out about this story and see that video of him assaulting his then girlfriend at the time, Cassie, people are just going to be dropping off left and right, canceling Diddy.
You know, you're Morgan Wallen and you throw a chair off a roof, your sales go up. if you see this kind of violence, there are few things that can truly get you canceled. This obviously is the one.
100%. And if that chair from Morgan Wallen had hit somebody, I feel like it would have had this exact same effect. I feel like because it didn't, people were like, oh, he's just drunk. Whereas when you have legitimate proof that you have clearly gone after somebody multiple times, because we saw in that video, Cassie got in the fetal position. This was obviously not the first time that this had happened. People are ready to take a stand and stop streaming his music.
I think if you grew up listening to Diddy, it's a few different reasons you would struggle to listen to his music today. Obviously, the one with the video and everything that's been released, but also all of the things behind the scenes from all of the years of where they've been saying he was horrible to his artists and the way that he used and abused them in order to make a lot of those hit records to get the power and the money that he's clearly used for wrong all these years. So it comes with like a whole package deal of not hearing his music authentically anymore.
Yeah, I think obviously like Cassie and any others who he have harmed, that's where the focus needs to be. And, making it right with her, because, I mean, she for so long was saying that this was happening and nobody was believing her. And so on a lesser note, and what Mo's talking about, like Puff Daddy and the Family was my very first concert I ever went to as a kid. Right. And that music, and I think it's the same for you, Mo, like, that is the music of my youth, like as part of your the soundtrack of your life. That music is so integral in like my high school and college years. And I'm not going to be able to listen to any of his songs for the sheer fact it's like it doesn't evoke the joy anymore. It doesn't evoke the lightness. Instead, it's too heavy.
Yeah, he was a rolling party. I mean, I told you guys he was in here 17 years ago, and you could feel his presence and his party before he even came in the studio. You know, we're drinking, we're having a great time. He invites us out that night. Also, that's who he was for most of us. But then you peek behind the scenes, and now you see all this, and you see it for yourself and how violent it was. And it's a game changer. It's an absolute game changer.
And nothing excuses it, but I want to know, like, why? Like, where did this start that he felt like he needed to act this way?
I think it's his power, right?
I think he's just power drunk. You get all that money, you get all that power, and you start to believe that you are a god, and you treat people as if you are better than them and they are beneath you, and I think that's something he's done. And it's so hard to watch, for one, the hurt and pain that Cassie and all of the others have struggled through to his power. But like you said, he's such a big part of my childhood as far as hip-hop is concerned. Yeah. It's like you lose a hero in a sense. You grow up thinking this person is one way, find out they're another, And it's just tragic all around.
It's awful. And it's such a tragedy too that, I mean, he had built such an empire for his music and built such a brand that now it's like, this is legacy. This is how we're going to remember him. We're not going to remember the incredible music that he put out and the memories that you have with that music. You are going to remember that video you saw circulating in 2024 of him assaulting his girlfriend. So it's just a tragedy all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of thing like a couple of vacations ago, I was out on one of those drinking cruise type deals, and an R. Kelly song came on, and the whole boat went like silent. Like, what are we doing here? It's going to be the same thing with Diddy songs.
Exactly. Okay, in slightly lighter news, we've been talking about J-Lo and Ben Affleck, and are they going to get divorced? Apparently, there's trouble in paradise. There have been rumors that they're living in separate homes. Ben Affleck has been spotted out and about without his ring, and now J-Lo is apparently taking a stand because she was spotted on a red carpet for a movie called Atlas, and she was wearing her wedding ring. So she has heard all the little mumblings and rumblings from people like us being like, oh my God, J-Lo and Ben Affleck are breaking up. And she's letting us know that apparently that is not the case because she is flashing that wedding ring out and about very proudly, in fact. All right, Melissa Joan Hart says that she has regrets when it comes to being a role model for Britney Spears. I'll tell you about her remorse on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I think she's telling guys to stop. Like, just stop using this compliment. You're a natural beauty when you are talking to a woman. Because guys, you don't know. Kristen found this video.
Dude, she cracked me up. Because we have tried telling the men on the show. And we even did like a test out in public. That you all say you love women natural. Like just no makeup, low key. That's like... That's your jam.
Those last couple of hours on a beach when the wind has swept through your hair all day, you don't have any makeup on, you got sand all over you in your natural state, the sexiest time of all, I say.
So Clem Castile on Instagram posted this, and this is a woman who is letting everybody know that when you say you love a natural woman, you don't. You love them fake.
I actually just like don't understand men and how their brains work sometimes, because today I was just minding my own business and this guy comes up to me and he's like, I just wanted to say that you are so elegant. You are such a natural beauty. Yeah, I think that a woman can take one look at me and be like, that's fake. My jawline costs $10,000. Okay. My lips are clearly done. My hair is $2,000. My lashes are $200 every 2 weeks. I don't understand. This is how much I can raise my eyebrows. For some reason, and I get it all the time, men are like, you really have enough makeup on to season a wok. And men are just like, you are just, they don't make them like you these days. Yes, they do. They make them down at Matty's Medi Spa, okay, with a needle and a scalpel.
Listen, I paid a lot of money to look this mediocre, so if someone thinks that this is natural, I'm taking the compliment.
Can women really tell with each other, or do women assume there has been work done the way guys don't even think about women that have had work done?
I mean, obviously, there's a level of assumption there, but it doesn't take a brain surgeon to look at somebody and know if they have fake lashes, if they have extensions. I think the lips can be very obvious. Like, things like that, I wouldn't say is like a leap of an assumption, but, and like, obviously, makeup, it's crazy how much makeup you can have on to have that natural look or whatever. So I found it so, so comical that a man went up to her, you're such a natural beauty, when literally everything about her face was fake.
Did she look like she could actually pass for natural, or did the guy just be clueless?
Now, here's the thing.
I wouldn't have been able to tell.
You wouldn't have been able to tell?
Uh-uh. So she's gorgeous. Like, the woman in this video, she's gorgeous, right? And I think, for a man, probably would look at her and think, like, wow, she's just a natural beauty. But as a woman, I'm like, hair extensions, fake lashes, fake lips. Especially when she raised up her bangs and she couldn't move her forehead. I'm like, there's that. Kudos, girl, your neurotoxins be neurotoxin. Good job. Good job.
I think now guys are used to so over-the-top makeup and cosmetics. Like, when you look at the Kardashians, you can clearly tell there that they've had work done. That when someone like this, who really has... It's been... I guess, subtle, because I wouldn't have been able to tell, like, the Kardashians. That we don't even, it doesn't even register to us.
Well, for the Kardashians, too, what you have to take into account is we've seen the transformation. We saw the before and we saw the after. So we know what Kylie's real face looked like as a kid and into her teens. And then she started, you know, changing everything up. So that's how we're able to tell. But if you meet a stranger and you don't know what their before or after is like you were talking about how gorgeous Kendall Jenner is, right? And I'm like, you know she's had stuff done, right?
She has not.
Yes, she has.
She's a natural beauty.
Old natural woman.
And let's make sure to reiterate, there is nothing wrong with that. Hello. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got neurotoxins in right now. I got fillers in right now. Mm-hmm. I have done all therapy. My jawline cost like a pretty penny as well. Yeah. I do peels. This is makeup from last night because I went to the Braves game. Sorry.
What do you mean your jawline?
So I did a procedure called Ultherapy, and it just snatched it up a little bit.
Okay.
So it's not like, it wasn't surgery, but it was like intense radio waves or whatever to like tighten everything up and lift it ever so slightly and snatch it.
When you went in to get your nose job done, you've been real honest about that. Did you tell them like, I do not want this? I want this to be very subtle.
Yeah, because I said, I don't really hate my nose that much, although it's funny, every now and then an old Burt Show video will pop up, and I'll be like, oh, the snoz!
You can tell a difference.
I can tell a difference immediately, and I didn't really hate my nose before, I just didn't think it was very feminine, and I have a petite face, it's very round, and so like a larger nose to me didn't really fit that look, so when I went in, it was more of like, just make it work with what's going on, because I can't really change the rest of it. So make the one thing I can change look good.
Maybe I asked this of you before, but when you spend that kind of money, which clearly you did on your nose, do you want people to notice, or is it an insult to say, I can barely even tell the difference? Are you like, well, that was a waste of money?
Well, I guess I was kind of flattered when Kristen and Cassie noticed, because then at the very least I knew that it was a big enough change that they were like, oh, something did happen, but it doesn't really offend me either way, because then I guess it just means it was really good work and I went to a guy that I wanted to do really good work. Mm-hmm. So either way, it's a win.
You could have been in here every day for 6 months and Mo would have never, and I would have never noticed.
You could have been 6 years.
We would have never
It was so beautiful how oblivious you both were to it.
100%.
Not a clue.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else. Or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
The Burt Show.
So maybe all this bad luck that Cassie has been having the last couple of years, most would say weeks, years, isn't her fault. Maybe it's deep, rich into her family history.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out because I've just had a string of bad luck, and some of it is bad, you know, like relatives passing away or trees falling through the roof of your house. And some of it is small bad. Like yesterday, I went out to lunch with my husband and my son, and somebody hit my car and took off.
What?
Yes, it was I wasn't in it at the time, luckily, but yes, there was a small little hit and run. And then I was telling Kristen we went to go look at a dream house, and it was literally right next to a landfill. And that's not bad luck, but when you're going through bad luck and all these things happen, you're like, come on.
Uh-huh.
So I received an email from a psychic, and this is a psychic I've met with before who has been to my house. Her name is Yvonne O'Brien. I've been on her emailing list for years, but as part of the show, she came to my house when we had the Paranormal Investigators of Georgia, and I think Tommy came as well, and she came as well to my house to see if there was ghostly activity. And so I have not spoken to her since, I think, 2016, so 8 years. Like, we don't keep in contact. I'm on her mailing list, but I haven't emailed her, anything like that. So out of the blue, she emails me. This is Yvonne. We met many years ago at your house. Thank you again for inviting me. I'm sorry to hear of what you were going through. I heard your conversation about everything that's happened to you recently on the radio as I was picking up my son. I'm normally not in the car around that time, but while you were talking, my mind wandered back to your house. I don't have a recording from our session, but maybe we do somewhere in our archives. If this is the same house, I started getting flashbacks or quick visions while driving of your house and the surrounding areas. I saw the back left side and there was a river or stream back there. And I saw a Native American as clear as day at the back left side of the stream or river. And I know immediately this land was important. Then I saw your basement and some crazy energy that needed to be moved, which is something she had told me during our reading too, because it stuck with me that there was some kind of energy in the basement. I got a quick vision of a possible, I'll use code, unaliving in that house some time ago before your family was there. I saw the ground to the basement vividly and it was off. I was worried that all the things happening to you were associated with the land, the grounds that the house was on. This was super strong. I saw myself standing there trying to clear it remotely. And so, and then she, you know, closes out the email really nicely. And it's just weird because I, you know, we love that house. It's been great, but it does feel like when you go into the basement, because we do have kind of a water feature nearby, and so it does feel like there's this weird energy. And honestly, I'm just grass. I'll take anything.
You're
like,
right.
I'm just trying to figure it out.
It's not me. Yes. That's what you want to know. This is not. This is the don't pick me energy. This is not me. This is the house.
Yes, it's the land. But, you know, I'm going to do some research into it, but I'm just wondering, like, at some point, is it a human coping mechanism to just try and find, and not to come down on like Yvonne at all, because I do believe in psychics and mediumship as well. But for me being like, maybe it's the land, maybe it's the house. Is it like a human coping mechanism at some point to just be like, I can't control this, so I'm going to blame something random and just be like, focus on fixing that and maybe everything else will fall into place?
Well, I guess it depends on what you believe in also. Like, call it what you want, universe, I call it God. I don't think we're in control of anything. So it does take a lot of pressure off of me knowing that dude's got a plan for me, and there are going to be months where I have good luck and there are going to be months where dude says I have bad luck. I don't even question it anymore.
At this point, I just call it life.
Yeah.
Like, and you have peaks and you have valleys. Now, I will say this, Cassie. You've been in that valley for a very long time.
Yes.
In
a
valley.
This is a trench.
Yes. I mean, we need, I feel like.
An abyss.
An abyss.
It's not a trench, it's an abyss.
As long as it doesn't become the shadow of the valley of death, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. I do feel like we need to, like, team still six your ass out of this valley. I don't know how we do that. But yeah, I mean, there will be some years where it's super low and then other years where it's super high. And I think that's just. That's just life, whether you want to chalk it up, whether you want to label it bad luck or good luck or, you know, however you want to view it. But I do find all of this fascinating. Would love to know the history of your property and like what was there back in the day.
I also feel like I think as a human, you just want to live with something to look forward to. Like having something to look forward to makes life better. And you just looking for hope. Like at some point, you blame everything around you because it got to get better.
Did she say somewhere in that email that there was something that she could help you out with? If there's some kind of activity down there that she can, you know, Kristen's tried smudging, but she's a rookie.
Yeah.
Can she come in here and do anything about it and clear the way?
I can ask her. And that's what I appreciate about Yvonne. Like, this wasn't trying to sell me on anything. Yeah. It was just, hey, I had these visions. This might help you. And it really does. I remember her reading and it mirrors what she told me 8 years ago, too, about the house and the land possibly being sacred or important, either with like an indigenous tribe or something having to do with the Civil War.
But that's the thing. You've been in this house 8 years. Wouldn't that stuff have started 8 years ago when you moved into the house?
Maybe it did. And I just don't know.
It's just been life. It's been building up until this point.
Yeah, I think I'd hit her back and go, okay, that's nice. Can you do anything about it?
Yeah, I will. I bought another smudge stick. At this point, I'm going to like buy out a whole mystical shop and just put it in the fireplace.
Mm-hmm. The Burt Show.
All right, at this point, when it comes to dating, I think Abby is looking at anything. Stay within the lines, break the lines of dating, all of it. What are you looking at?
Cassie, I'm like you with my dating life, where I feel like it's just one L after the other, and I'm looking for something to hold on to, something to grasp onto.
Ooh, maybe Yvonne can help you too.
Yeah, although I think I need a little bit more help than Cassie does. Listen, I know a tree fell through her house, but I keep getting ghosted, so really what's worse? So I was listening to this podcast called Life in Progress. progress, and it's two girls who are about my age, and they were talking about the topic of dating rules. Now, dating rules are something I like to follow because it gives me structure. It gives me some kind of bearings in this world that feels very murky and gray. You never really know what to do in certain situations. So if you can follow social cues or rules, it makes things a little bit clearer. So there was an episode that was all about dating rules that they don't agree with, and also dating rules that they broke, that they said if they hadn't broke these rules, they wouldn't be in the relationships that they're in. So I'm like, huh, maybe I should listen to this and find out what rules I need to start breaking. So they started going through a list of rules that are really, really common. And then they started talking about the rules that they broke. So the rules that are common that they talked about that they started debunking were a woman should never reach out first. And they're like, that's stupid. If you want to reach out to someone, you should just reach out to someone. And I feel like the founders of Bumble are 100% behind that.
What do you think about that?
I don't think women should like follow a rule in that instance of you shouldn't reach out first. If, I think if you are interested in somebody, you should shoot your shot. But I'll be honest, me personally, as a guy, I still like the feeling of pursuing the woman that I'm interested in as opposed to it going the other way around.
She got to give me some kind of flag because I would never assume she's attracted to me. So please say something.
I don't like making the first move because I'm kind of in the same mental headspace where I'm like, if a guy likes me, he's going to make a move or he's going to say something. But then I'm kind of like, well, what if he doesn't know that I'm into him? So do I have to make the first move so that he knows?
But then guys are so clueless, we might not even know that you're making a move.
Oh my God, do I have to do it? Do I just slap?
Why are you standing next to me this whole time?
Why are you talking to me? Why are you batting your lashes like that? Another one they brought up was that you should wait 3 days before contacting your date after the first date. I feel like that's so outdated.
That's
like,
such an old school.
That's old school. Yeah, that's
so old school. So they were like, absolutely not. They said you should be able to kiss on the first date if you want. If the vibes are there, if you're feeling like you want to kiss them, if the chemistry is chemistrying, why would you hold yourself back from that? Mm-hmm.
Why not?
I have definitely broken that rule before, but I also do think there is something to playing the game, which is why I think I tend to follow the rules. And I think maybe waiting to kiss on the second date is sort of like making them want more and kind of building that attraction. So I think there's something to also holding out a little bit as well.
See, I also think that, you know, as I was dating, I was so insecure that if I just got a hug at the end of the date, for me, that was it. Like, okay, she's clearly not into me. So it took the enthusiasm away from me just because I was in my own head.
See, that's why it depends, because I'm the complete opposite. Like, I feel like if you don't give me that energy on a first date, it means that you want to be pursued, and I think that's attractive.
Okay. See, this is why I think the rules might be stupid, because everyone interprets things differently.
My husband, on our first date, got...
they said the man shouldn't have to do all the planning for dates, which I feel strongly about. In the relationship, like, women should plan things, but I'm like, for the first date, again, it's sort of like getting asked out. Men are hunters, let them hunt. So instead of hunting, plan something. Make a reservation.
I guess I'm a little chivalrous this way, a little old-fashioned, that I do think that the guy should plan the first date. Like, let her just show up and have a good time and take care of business, boys.
My only problem with that is it's just like the last point of everybody is so different. I used to try to plan dates when I was dating, and a lot of the times a woman didn't like the first date. She didn't want to do what I felt like a good first date was. Like if I was like, let's go to Starbucks or something like that, she didn't think that was a good date. So I made the plan, I made the time, and you don't like it. At that point, it's on you.
Is it a turnoff? Like if you're one of these guys who wants to be chivalrous and thinks it's chivalrous to like plan a first date, if a woman did plan the first date for you, and then does that set a different tone for the entire relationship?
God, that'd be amazing. That'd be fantastic.
I don't know if it sets a tone for the relationship, but I have heard guys say that it sets the tone for the date. Like if you initiate the date, then the woman should pay for it. But I don't think it carries on to the relationship, but I don't feel like that. But I've heard a lot of men feel that way.
And under no circumstance in my world should a woman pay for a first date. That's just how I feel.
So then they started talking about the rules that they actually broke themselves. So both of these girls are getting married this spring. So one of them just got married last month. One of them is getting married this summer. And so Carly, one of the hosts who just got married, said that the rules that she broke in her relationship were that on the first date, she was upfront about the fact that she wanted to be in a serious relationship. Sometimes people are like, you got to be a little bit more coy because you don't want to look like you actually want a relationship. She said that she talked about her ex and she asked about his ex as well. and she initiated the second date, which, like me, I could never. Like, I feel like I want to get asked out again. Mm-hmm. Like, if you hunt, men are hunters, let them hunt. And then Alana, she's the one that's getting married this summer, and she said she did something that I would never do in a million years when it came to a guy I hadn't met yet.
So 5 p.m. came along, and I hadn't heard from Jake. And I had texted some of my friends being like, oh, I'm just going to like text him. And they were like, oh, the horror. Don't you dare text him. How could you even think about that? How could you even consider the fact that this date would possibly be happening at this point? You are going to be stood up and it is so embarrassing for you that you think you're going on this date.
Well, I just blew out my eardrums.
And I was just like, no, like maybe he's busy.
Yeah.
And so I texted him. I'm like, hey, like, looking forward to tonight. Like, are we still on for 7 or whatever? And he was like, I was just about to text you. Like, sorry, crazy day at work. Yeah, I can't wait.
Great. Like, okay. Like, cool. And yeah. Did that turn him off? Or no. Do you have a ring on your finger?
I have a ring on my finger. It's really shiny.
So for me, I'm like, if you don't text me by 5 p.m. on the day of our first date, I'm assuming you don't care about me at all. But she was like, no, I'm just going to make the move and text him.
That's too late. 5 o'clock? Waiting until 5 o'clock? If you're supposed to go out that night?
Yeah, that's why I know. Yeah, I think it's too late for me. But here she is. She's the one with the ring, and I'm the one on the radio talking about how bad my dating life is. So maybe I'm in the wrong.
The Burt Show.
A few weeks ago, I adopted an English bulldog, Franny. I am not sure of her history. I have reached out to the breeder a couple of different times in Iowa, and I haven't received anything back. What I do know is that we're making some strides here. You know, when you adopt a dog, I think, this is the first time that I've done this, that there are baby steps, right? They start to get comfortable with you, and then they sort of coil, and then they take some baby steps. And last night was a major one for me and Franny. So Franny doesn't like to be inside the house at all. As I understand it, the very few details that I have is that she grew up on a farm. You know, she's had a couple of litters. She's 3.5 years old. And then I guess when she couldn't breed anymore, they were looking for a good home, found somebody who couldn't take the dog himself. So I adopted her. So what I know is this now. She's very scared of people. I don't know if she's been around a lot of people her entire life. I don't know what happened to her on that farm, which I'm going to bring back up in a second here. She hates collars, leashes, inside, very reluctant to go into her crate. We were making some headway there, and then some of Hollis's friends came over on Friday night. Nobody really had any interaction with her, but I think the sheer noise might have freaked her out so much that she hides in one shrub that I have at the house, and you can just see her little head peeking out from time to time. Hey, and that's really it. Then she'll come back up. We'll hang out. Then she retracts back down to the backyard. So it's been a process. And last night was the very first time, believe it or not, this 55-pound fat-ass bulldog is not food motivated. I don't know how that's possible, but she hasn't been up until this point. So every night I've been bringing her inside because she's an outside dog. But in Georgia, the nights are going to get too hot and too humid for her to be outside. So I might as well break her in now to being inside the house at night or when I need her to be in the house. When it's 97 degrees outside and 99% humidity, English bulldogs will overheat quickly and have seizures.
That, I was about to say, I thought there was, you had mentioned before how quickly bulldogs can overheat.
Yeah. So they can't be out there all day long. Right now, if I wanted her to, she could be. So I bring her in at night, and that is a little bit of a fight between she and I. She doesn't like the harness, and now I've understood how to slowly guide her into the house, so it's not so much of a fight. Then she immediately goes into the crate. So I thought, you know what? I wonder if I could somehow, some way get her out of the crate to make her feel a little more safe in the house. So I got her some doggy treats, and I smothered them with peanut butter, and I put it in the crate, and she's like, oh, what's all that about? First time she had a snack out of my hand.
Aww.
Very first time. So I'm like, well, this went well. So I put it outside of the crate, and she took one step out of the crate and ate the snack. And I'm like, well, look at you. Oh, you're so brave. Yay.
All the positive reinforcement.
All the positive reinforcement, man. All they need, bulldogs, are snacks. Right? So now I'm about 2 feet out of the crate, and I hand her it again, and two paws come out of the crate. And then At the very end of the night, I offered it to her again. She came all the way out of the crate, ate it, and then ran back in. So slow progress. And
but progress nonetheless.
Very rewarding. There are some days where she comes on out to the deck and she allows me to like hug her and love on her for 5 minutes before she realizes she's scared and then she takes off. But before it was 5 seconds and now it's 5 minutes. So we're making some progress.
And I even noticed small progress when I was over at your house. Was it last week?
Mm-hmm.
And she is so soft and so sweet. And when I first got there, she was hiding in the bush. And so I would slowly walk up and got on her level, but I could tell, like, she's like, I need you to give me my space. So we did. But then she ended up coming up to the deck and I got to, you know, go over there and she, went in gently and on her level and got to love on her. And there is one little spot back there on the butt, man, that she really likes when you start digging in.
Right.
But when she's done, she's done.
Yep.
Like, she's one of those, like, this is my time. This is my turf. I'm going to allow you to love on me. But again, this is, like I'm the one controlling the situation.
Oh,
and then
I get
when she's done, yeah, right?
I've had him over to the house too, and he's gone right into the shrub.
Yeah, I would be right in the bush with him.
Be like, yo, Frey, scoot over, bro.
I don't see him for hours, man. So it's really baby steps, and I keep reminding myself that I'm on her timeline. Mm-hmm. So there is no such thing as frustration. We're already family, right? So whatever she's going to be, as I've said before, she is going to be. I do have some questions that I'm out of time now that maybe I'll ask you guys later on. Based on some of the feedback that I've received from breeders that have been following me on Instagram and some of the assumptions maybe that we've made in here that maybe she came from one of those puppy mill type deals.
Yeah.
That when you go on their website, it looks like a perfectly good breeding, I don't even know what you call them.
Business.
Yeah, it looks clean. It looks like the dogs are legit. She is the most beautiful bulldog I have ever had in my life. But I'm starting to wonder, like, because I've reached out to the breeder a couple of times, is it my place to, like, contact somebody in Iowa to check out this farm just to make sure it's legit? Because she's so sheepish. She's had something happen in her past, but am I causing trouble where there doesn't need to be caution? Trouble.
Yeah. Well, so puppy mills, they can run as like, they look like they're reputable companies. They look like they're reputable businesses, but behind this, you just don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Right. In this instance, you said you've reached out to the breeder a couple times. You haven't got any response.
Just emailed again a couple minutes ago just to make, cause I want to assume the best.
Yes.
Like I want to assume I contacted them, but they got busy and they're not checking their email every day. So I want to believe that. So I sent another one.
Well, what about the guy that you got Franny from? I know he was going through a tough time and there was a family emergency, but has enough time passed that you can reach out to him and get anything?
Maybe. And he has bought, I think, 2 dogs from there.
Yeah.
But even if you buy a dog from a place like that, would you know?
No, he wouldn't know, but maybe he has a little more insight into Franny's behaviors. So
he only had her for a couple of days.
Okay.
It was legitimately 3 days and realized okay, 3 bulldogs in a townhouse. And he was probably, I'm guessing, seeing the sheepishness also that this was not going to be an easy project. And he already had 2 bulldogs. So he tried to find a suitable owner before bringing her back to Iowa. And I got lucky.
Gotcha. So you reached out to him again. Yeah. If they don't reach back out, I say pursue it.
Yeah.
Something happened to her.
Mm-hmm. I say pursue it too.
Yeah,
it's going to be better for you to know.
You might as well. So then at least, at the very least, if there is something shady going on in Iowa at this little farm, then maybe you can get justice for those other dogs up there.
I mean, and what could it hurt? So somebody goes out there, checks it out, finds out the place is absolutely awesome. No harm, no foul.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Get it. The Bird Show.
All right, Candace needs our help here because she thinks her husband might be having an affair with their kid's teacher. Hey, Candace, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Oh, I've been better.
I bet. Tell us what led us to this point right here that you wanted us to do a War of the Roses.
Well, I can't help but think my husband is having an affair with our daughter's teacher. We have an only child. She's in the 2nd grade this year. Last year, he was very minimally involved in her schooling. He rarely attended any school events at all. It was like pulling teeth to get him to attend orientation and parent-teacher conferences and anything. So, but this year, he's done a 180. party. At orientation this past fall, we met our daughter's teachers, and her one teacher is this stunning young woman. She's in her second year of teaching. She seems so sweet and so enthusiastic. Well, color me surprised that this past year, he's been incredibly active at the school. He's been volunteering.
I am just, you know, not to interrupt you, Candace, but I'm definitely picking up a tone here. And
I think your instincts are right on, Kristen. Amazing. Your spidey sense. Yeah, amazing.
Picking up. So he's been, well, this is great. He's being an active dad this year.
Oh, he is volunteering for almost everything, whereas last year he wouldn't go to anything, okay?
Yeah.
He never misses a school performance this year, the carnival, bake sales, okay? He doesn't even bake. So, I don't know. I can't help but wonder if he has something for our daughter's teacher, and I would love to test him with the War of the Roses to see if he would send flowers to me or to her teacher.
Is this just possible that dude is getting flirty? Yeah, it's not appropriate, but there's not an affair going on.
I mean, it could be, but this is our daughter's teacher.
Yeah.
Like, you don't go there with your child's education. Like, that's our baby.
Kind of like where, you know, you don't dip your pen in the company ink. And like, if you haven't, like, you're not supposed to date people in your apartment complex or whatever, it makes it messy. Well, one, it's messy because he's married.
Yeah, you're not supposed to date outside your marriage.
Yeah, there's that. That's a key component.
I think I've heard that cliche.
But I would imagine if all parties were single, all right, like dating like your kid's teacher or within the school, I think could potentially be very, very messy.
Yeah, I wouldn't
absolutely
do it.
Absolutely.
For sure. But, I mean, it's not possible that maybe he genuinely just doesn't have a... Y'all won't even let me say it.
I'm not even that gullible.
No, y'all right. No, y'all right.
Play the defense attorney. Go ahead.
He doesn't necessarily have a thing for the teacher in that way, but he does appreciate the teacher's enthusiasm and... Yeah, y'all were right. I tried.
He really appreciates her enthusiasm.
And sweetness. Yeah, no.
Mans has a crush, and whether or not anything untoward is actually going on, I can pick up. Women have incredible intuition, and if you're picking up the vibe that he's got a little thing for this teacher and he's showing up to more things, I feel like you're probably spot on. I hope it's just that, just a little crush, something innocent, and nothing is actually going on and it actually being a full blown affair, but I think your instincts are probably right on the money.
Candace, is this the kind of thing where he's showing up to these bake sales and stuff where he and she have texting interaction, or is this just a hunch based on what you see with your eyes? Like, he's just showing up a little bit too much.
He's showing up just bright-eyed and just smiley. He always smells good, but he smells extra good when we go to these things. So, and he's very quick to volunteer. So it's more of a hunch, you know, but I don't know. It's a gut feeling.
Does he know how obvious?
He doesn't have a crush on her.
Does he know how obvious he's being?
Guys have no idea.
Putting on extra cologne to go to the bake sale is wild. You gotta relax.
Now, you know, Candace, you gave us his information. We did War of the Roses, and we do have results for you. But I'm just curious, like, if he does send the flowers to the teacher, like, do you have any idea how you're going to handle this?
I don't. Okay. I don't. I'm sorry.
No.
Let's hope it doesn't get there.
Candace, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Now,
well, we're not there yet, though, babe.
What we got is a whole bunch of hunches right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like he's on his phone late night and he's hiding his phone and you got that kind of thing. It's just you can see it with your eyes and it sounds a little bit inappropriate, but let's not go to, you know, infidelity just yet.
Well, right now, we are on the threshold of disrespectful. So let's see if we go all the way through that door and start knocking on infidelity's door.
All right, Candace, give us a couple of seconds here. When we come back, we will give you the results that we found with War of the Roses, okay?
Thank you.
All right, next on The Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Let's hope today is the Burt Show found out that my husband was not cheating on me day.
Oh, okay.
That would be nice.
What now?
Okay. So it's Candace that hit us up, and she's like, something's not right here, man. My husband, all of a sudden, since our kid got a new teacher, she's young, she's attractive, all of a sudden, dude's wearing cologne to the bake sales. He's going to bake sales, going to all the activities to be around the teacher. And Candace here is like, is this guy having an affair on me? So she wanted us to test him with War of the Roses. I have all that right, Candace?
Yes, you do, unfortunately.
All right. Kristen, before you give results, you want to tell people that might be new to the Burt Show what War of the Roses is?
Yeah, so we have a segment called To Catch a Cheater, and there's different ways that we try to go about this. There's Instagram scam, Snapchat sting, Hinge hunters, now Tinder takedown. Tried and true, the one that started it all was War of the Roses. And that's where we send a fake promotional email to from a florist to somebody and to see who they're going to send flowers to, what kind of flowers they're going to send, and what they're going to put in the card in the hopes of finding out that they are faithful. Never in the hopes of finding out that they are, you know, unfaithful. So, Candace, you gave us your husband's information. You gave us his email. And we sent him that fake promotional email, offered him a free bouquet of flowers. He's able to choose from several options with pictures. In exchange, he's asked to share some promo codes for a percentage off a future order, and he could choose between the following bouquets. There's the bee's knees, a buzzing medley of pollinator-friendly flowers such as lavender, foxgloves, and sunflowers, perfect for the nature lover in your life. The second option was Orange You Glad We're Friends, a cheerful bouquet of orange roses and greenery to show someone how much you appreciate having them in your life. My One New Love, Burgundy Ranunculus mixed with Mariposa Carnations is a passionate gift for the new love of your life. I think if you see what we're doing here with some of these options to really pinpoint like where we might be at here.
It's Entrapment Bouquet 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah. the fourth one being Ridiculously in Love. 2 dozen long stem red roses, perfect for expressing your love to your one and only.
That is the one we absolutely, no matter what, do not want to hear.
Yes. First email was sent at 9:46 a.m., and he didn't take long. He responded and ordered flowers at 11:09 a.m., and he selected Orange You Glad We're Friends. That's the cheerful bouquet of orange roses and greenery to show someone how much you appreciate having them in your life. And Candace?
Mm-hmm.
He sent them to the teacher.
No!
He said delivery for next Monday morning to be delivered to the school address. And the note on the card says, just wanted to thank you for being such a wonderful teacher to blank. We obviously removed your daughter's name for privacy. She adores you, and I can see why. I would love to buy you lunch as a thank you. Oh. And then he put his phone number, which we've also removed for privacy.
Oh, my God.
So we got problems.
We got big problems.
We got big problems. So, yeah.
He put his name, not both of ours?
Yeah. No, yeah. He signed it, his name, and included his phone number to take her out to lunch.
Orange, you glad you hit us up for this information?
So let's take a look at a sliver of goodness going on here. Nothing has happened yet. Okay, I don't know what having a crush and emotional infidelity, we could get into semantics, all that, but nothing has happened yet. This is his first run at her. He is giving her his phone number, clearly wants to do something inappropriate, so we have stopped this before it happens. Hasn't happened yet, so that's good.
No, but he's swimming in the gray area. Like, this is the kind of thing that he's setting up because there's still plausible deniability. We're like, what's wrong with lunch? I didn't ask her to go get I didn't give her the romantic bouquet. But it's so clear here that there's an obvious intent that he has motivations that are not squeaky clean. So to me, this is 100% not a win.
Yeah, I mean, I do think there's a little bit of light in the fact that he obviously has not, or doesn't appear to have gone and crossed the ultimate line. But I think that he's going to try. He's right in that place of trying to find his way out of this and make it seem like he did nothing wrong when, like Abby said, his intentions are pretty clear. So he got some serious explaining to do because this is a problem.
So what do you do in a case like this now, Kristen? Now she's got the info, goes back to the hubby, says what?
So if I were in Candace's shoes, and I'm so sorry that these are the shoes you're walking in right now, I would sit my husband down and I would say, just wanted to thank you for being such a wonderful teacher to blank. She adores you and I can see why. I would love to buy you lunch as a thank you. Then read the phone number and read his name and be like, what's going on?
I think you got to nip. I know sometimes you want to retreat and like not deal with it head on, but I think stopping this thing right now is probably the way to go.
You absolutely have to.
Jump in front of it.
Yeah, nip it in the bud. The flower bud, if you will.
I'm sorry.
I have to.
You have to, for sure.
You for sure do.
He's making a series of choices right now, and they're obviously not good ones. I don't think you're at a place of no return, but I think you need to get to the bottom of this and then also address why he would even contemplate doing something like this to begin with.
Candace, keep in touch with us, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Sorry, babe.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
What would you do if you had already had a vacation scheduled with your friends, but that vacation may get in the way of the future love of your life? That is the question. And that's a dilemma that one of my dudes finds himself in right now. It's interesting because he's someone who's been dating for a while and he's finally met somebody that he is very interested in. And I've never seen him be as interested as quickly as he's been, but it's only been 2-3 weeks at this point. But they met through a mutual friend. They hit it off. They hit it off really quickly. I mean, they were talking on the phone for hours out the gate. And so far, they've gone on 2 dates, and both dates have been very good dates. So at this point, he's like, I'm really into her. He's confused on if she's really into him, but that's just him being in his own mind. She's clearly really into him as well. But things are going so well that he's a bit afraid of it because he feels like it's too much, too quick, and he doesn't want it to be too much too soon. So initially, he's supposed to be going on a vacation with me and some of my friends. Mm-hmm. We're all going to have a good time. But he's going on vacation with us many a time. Mm-hmm. Like, it wouldn't be anything new. Now, the problem is this lady that he's dating offered for him to come with her on a vacation, which would be technically only their third, maybe fourth date.
Oh, wow.
But she's paying for everything. She really wants him to come this bad. So it's like it's one of those work events where you go away and I guess she's going to have some type of conference. But outside of the conference, mm-hmm. she has the rest of the weekend to do whatever she wants. And it's her free time.
Is that not a red flag? Somebody invites you somewhere like a trip on the third date?
That's my first question.
Yeah, that's a little sus to me.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It feels a little much for the third date. Maybe month three. But date number three, come on now.
I'd be into it. I like traveling. And if I'm really into it, I haven't got any problem with it at all.
So that was my way of thinking. And I told him that because I know a lot of people who did that. They met and they hit it off so well that they went on vacation or they went out of the country or whatever. They traveled really quickly.
And I know traveling with somebody tells you a lot about that person. Like, you can learn out the gate if this is a person you have longevity with, depending on how you all travel together.
Maybe that should be the first date.
Yeah.
Go figure
it out. Yeah. So I think he's like projecting this as if his dilemma or his confusion is if he should come with us or if he should go with her. But I really think it's more about if he feels like going on this with her is going to ruin what they have built because it's too much too soon. But it's also difficult for him to say no, because mm-hmm. as a man, when's the last time a woman said, I'll take you on a 4-day vacation and pay for everything?
Right.
Okay.
That doesn't happen.
Right.
I want all the details. So where are the different locations? Let's really compare these two trips here. All right.
Uh-huh.
Option one with the boys is going where?
Bali.
Ooh, Bali.
Bali. Bali.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a big one.
How you going to beat that?
But then see, if you go to Bali with your guys and with all of us that are going, you have to pay for it. So you got to throw that in there too.
Okay. All right. So you pay for it.
Because I ain't paying for them.
Yeah, Bali with the boys.
Bali on a budget.
Okay. Or going to?
Florida. It's a 4-day trip in Miami.
Okay.
Well, Miami's nice,
yes,
though.
Yes. Sure, I was like, fine. Yeah. But
it's free. It's also free.
And not even a question.
No.
You're
going to Bali, baby.
Bali, bro.
Yeah. But if you're really into this woman,
she'll be there when you get back to Bali.
Yes, Bali won't be. Bali could be gone tomorrow. No, I'm going to Bali.
Y'all would all go to Bali. Wouldn't even think twice about it?
No, I wouldn't think twice about it.
This is like a bucket list trip right here, man. Yeah.
Because it's not just Bali. It's Bali with my friends. And so if I back out of this trip, I'm making a statement towards my friends that this rando and my budget are more important than them. And I feel like I'm going to have so much FOMO because you guys are going to make like these incredible memories in Bali and I'm not going to be in them.
I also like the statement it makes to her is like, I got a life. You and I have just started dating and I am not changing the course of my life just because we just started dating and we can go and hang out for 4 days when I really want to go with my friends.
I'm not mad at that.
Okay, very important question. When she asked him to go on this work trip with her to Miami, did she have any idea that he had a trip planned to Bali?
She did. So he's very last minute with everything. That's his problem. So he said, I have plans, but they're not full plans yet. I'm still working out the trip, which he is. Like, he'll decide that he's going to Bali 2 days before we leave. That's what he does.
That's what dudes do.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know how it goes.
Oh, that makes me want to vomit.
So he did tell her, like, it's possible, but because the trip to Bali is going to be a lot more of his time, and he's struggling to get that time off of work, so it would be easier for him to just go to Miami with her, and it would be free. So I think that's... what he's weighing.
I'd be mad at her for being mad at him if he took the trip to Bali.
And we don't know that she would be.
Yeah, we don't. That's we don't know. Yeah, we don't know.
Good morning, Jasmine. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. So, 2 years ago, I met someone in April. I invited him on a trip, work trip actually, for a week in Chicago. He came along with. Right after the trip, he asked me to be his girlfriend. And we got married that same year. I got pregnant. We bought a house, and we've been, you know, happy ever since. So definitely go with her, because you never know.
So if he wants to stay away from all that, go to Bali.
If he doesn't want a wife and a kid and a house, go to Bali.
That sounds like it's it.
Bali. We made it. All right.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
The Caitlin Clark effect. That's what this is, right? So when people are like, what is the big deal about Caitlin Clark, the basketball player from Iowa that's now playing in the WNBA? The beautiful thing about having somebody that is taking the sport to the next level and introducing it to other girls and other women and other dudes is that it elevates it for other women that will be coming to the WNBA after her. And we have a clear example of this here in Atlanta now.
Yeah, so this is courtesy of WSBT TV. The article says the Atlanta Dream announced that both of their home games against Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever will be moved to State Farm Arena. So the Dream typically play their home games at the Gateway Center in College Park, seats about 3,500 people. Whereas State Farm Arena seats more than 17,000 people. Okay,
that's the effect, man.
So both games on June 21st and August 22nd, when the Atlanta Dream plays against the Indiana Fever, they're going to be played at the Atlanta Hawks home arena, State Farm. And the Dream said the goal is to make these the most attended in franchise history.
Wow.
Which is why I wanted to talk about it today on the show. I think that is such a noble effort and a noble goal. Caitlin Clark has obviously brought a lot of attention. She's an extremely talented player, and she also brings a lot of passion and she brings attitude, and I say that in a good way. You know what I mean? If you would love to go and support the Atlanta Dream and see WNBA star Caitlin Clark, you can do that June 21st. At State Farm Arena.
She's definitely made an impact because I've been watching all of her games, which is about four WNBA games than I've been watching. And I wonder how her teammates truly feel about the attention she gets, because I can assure you the opponents do not like it.
Yeah.
They are clotheslining her. Yeah. They are playing her hard.
They told her when she came into the league, like, get ready to play with women now.
Yeah.
All right. So, and the same thing should happen with Angel Reese also, I think, plays for Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
She maybe doesn't have the same level of notoriety as Caitlin Clark yet, but she is just as good. And I'm assuming when they come to Atlanta, they'll do the same thing and move the game.
Here's to hoping, because she's a phenomenal player. And what I love about her is you don't have to play nice. Like, if you're a woman, just because you're a woman doesn't mean you have to play nice. You go out there and you play tough and you play hard. And I think that's what both of these WNBA players are doing. And that's what they did in college. Yeah, they talked smack. They left it all out. Like, they were unapologetically them, and they just played the game and they played it hard. And for some people, that was a little off-putting, because it's like, that's not ladylike.
Oh, please.
We're playing basketball.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, Cassie, let's return back to this today, because as you know, Cassie has had a long history of pretty bad luck, majors and minors, and a hit and run yesterday?
Yeah, I was at Gusto and Chastain over there in their Roswell Wyuka Shopping Center. Love their food. And I was having a rare lunch with my husband and son. We're like, let's go do it. Let's hang out. It's a beautiful day. And when I came out to our car, or my car, I noticed there was a piece of paper under the windshield. And I'm like, oh, it's some flyer. My husband, Chad, grabs it. And it's a note. And thank you to this good Samaritan who left this note, because they said a black Dodge Challenger hit the back left corner of your car and then left. And they wrote the license plate number down. And I'm not going to say the license plate number on the air, but it is on my Instagram story, at Cassandra. So you can go check it out. Let me know if you know who this is. And I go, look, and sure enough, there's damage to, you know, that exact corner. Like, somebody backed into it. And so luckily, I haven't taken my car in the shop yet from the last damage, so we can get it all done at once. But come on, who does that? Who hits a car and then just takes off?
Well, there are cameras everywhere. I mean, you're not going to get away with anything anymore.
Oh, my car has cameras too.
Oh, is that
as
right?
Well, yes.
And the person, like, mad props to this person who was like, not on my watch. No. I got your license plate number. I have the color and the make and the model of the car.
Right.
I hope you find them. I really do.
I do. But seriously, what a good Samaritan, because they took time out of their day. And I think it's so easy to just keep your head down and, you know, do your own thing. So for them, they would have seen it, gone back in their car, found paper, found a pen, written it all down and left it on my windshield. So thank you for that.
Where would you even find a pen today?
That's what I'm saying. So mad props, because as much as it sucks that someone hit my car and took off, it is balanced out by there are good people in the world.
To be honest, everybody be honest with yourself. So you're the one in the parking lot and you see, tell everybody the car again, please, so we can keep an eye out.
A black Dodge Challenger.
So you see this black Dodge Challenger back up into somebody else's car, and you're able to get the license plate. Are you leaving a note?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Now that we've had this conversation, it will make me want to go out my way to do it, but I probably would have minded my business before.
I just don't have pen and paper in my car. Like, I would think about it, and I would look in my back seat, and I would try and scrounge up something, but, like, at the end of the day, if there's no pen, like, I mean, what am I going to do? Like, just
leave your iPhone on the windshield?
Yeah, leave my iPhone on the windshield, mark up, like, with some of the dust on the windshield, and be like, 904, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, like, contact me. So I would want to, but only if I had the means to do
only
so.
Only if it was convenient.
Only if it was convenient.
Convenient philanthropy.
I gotta go on my way. Ain't happening.
All right, do we have time to do this Love Lost and Found here real quick?
I don't think so.
Then we do?
Okay. All right.
So they meet at a grocery store. There's some chemistry there, and they both end up going each other's ways. And now she wants to try to find this guy. And the only way we can do it is through you guys. So, Mo, you want to read this here real quick?
Hello, Bird Show. Long-time listener here, and I'm in desperate need of your help. I'm trying to fix a situation that I totally fumbled. A few weeks ago, I went to the grocery store after working kind of late that night, had some time to kill before picking my son up from work. I walked in and started looking at flower bouquets in the floral department. I should note that I'm pretty oblivious to my surroundings. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a man from the produce section behind me walk toward the checkout house. But suddenly he whipped around and approached me. He called my attention by addressing me as ma'am, and I halfway expected him to inform me of something I wasn't aware of. Instead, he told me he thought I was beautiful and that he hoped the compliment made my day. I was so struck with awe with what he said, and I stood there wide-eyed and speechless. Literally, he stood there for a few seconds and stared at me, smiling. And I stared back at him in amazement with my mouth half open. Then he turned and walked away. I just stood there blinking, and it finally hit me that I should have told him my name, my number, the fact that I was single and interested. I thought he was attractive, but I let him slip through my fingers. By the time I went back to look for him, he was already gone. I've tried to search for him online and on my neighborhood app. I posted a description of what he looks like and our interaction that night, but I've had no luck. I don't even know his name or if he's single, but I was so struck by his aura and how positive he seemed. It was incredibly charming. I need to find him so I can at least get to know him. Hopefully he lives in the area. Please help.
All right, so Tommy, what we need to do is if we can tomorrow at this time, get Sherry on so we can get more information, like exactly the area, like what grocery store she was at.
Yep.
And hopefully we can find this dude.
Yeah, because right now we don't have nearly enough to go on except like an interesting storyline. But it also raises an interesting point. You know, as a guy, I'm so confused. Are we supposed to approach somebody that we find attractive? She says he's basically staring at her. She's staring at him. But we've heard before, like, that we're not supposed to do that, but here she is looking for this dude.
It's totally fine to approach someone, but I think people underestimate how, not awkward, but it's just like a weird dynamic when you see somebody out in person. You're not really 100% sure if they find you attractive. You know in your mind that you find them attractive, but I had this situation yesterday. Some guy opened a door for me at my apartment complex, and I called him a gentleman, kind of giving him like the green light, like, hey. But at the same time, like, I'm walking this way, he's walking this way, and it's such a big thing to be like, wait a second, are you single? Do you want my number? It's just not as simple as it sounds.
Right.
I don't know what to do. As a man, I really don't, man.
All right, well, tomorrow we will get her on, and we will at least try to find this guy, get a location, a neighborhood, the exact grocery store, and maybe we can link these two up. It's Burt Show.
The Burt Show.